Solid Jazz Funk Radio.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation.
Ja, hallo und herzlich willkommen. Ja, und ihr seid hier richtig bei Solid Jazz Funk Radio. Wir hören hier die berühmte Rede von Dr. Martin Luther King, bei der er 1963 die berühmten Worte I have a dream äußerte. Und die 60er Jahre waren nicht nur eine Zeit, in der sich die schwarze Bevölkerung gegen die jahrzehntelange Unterdrückung und Benachteiligung durch Weiße auflehnte. Auch im Bereich der Soulmusik waren die 60er Jahre eine der prägendsten überhaupt. Ereignisse, die in diesem Jahrzehnt passierten, prägen heute noch die Musikindustrie im großen Maße, in dem Sinn, dass die Musik aus dieser Zeit bis heute erhalten blieb und auch in Form von Samples und Wiederauflagen riesige Erfolge feiert. Und in den 60er Jahren spielte sich auch ein Großteil der prägendsten Geschichte von Stax Records ab. Stax Records, eines der bekanntesten Labels für Soul, brachte Musiker wie Otis Redding, Isaac Hayes, Rufus Thomas und viele mehr heraus. Und Stax Records möchte ich auch die nächste Stunde widmen. Der Anlass dafür ist das Erscheinen einer DVD mit dem Titel Stax Respect Yourself. Diese DVD porträtiert die Geschichte des Labels mit vielen Interviews und Originalaufnahmen. Auszüge daraus werde ich auch in der heutigen Sendung spielen und so im Besonderen den Aufstieg von Stax Records und seinen Artists zu zeigen. Es ist eine Geschichte voller Rührung, voller Emotionen und auch voller Tragik.
And finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today.
It was a happening, a cosmic happening. The door opened, the wind blew in, and we were smart enough not to fight it.
We were doing the kind of music that was unheard of.
Raw, gritty, gutsy soul.
We lived every day as though this was the last day we're going to get to do this.
We knew we had something, we just didn't know what.
God almighty, how many hits did we cut?
Stax had the funk. Stax had the funk.
It didn't matter about the color of your skin. We weren't in there doing things to prove that we were black and they were trying to prove they were white. We were in there proving that music is a sentiment of a man's soul.
You had segregation in the city of Memphis, but you could come into the doors of Stax Records where you had freedom, harmony, people working together and not making a difference between black and white.
After Dr. King was assassinated, things began to deteriorate.
When we're reduced to our irreducible essence, naked against the world, we're still somebody.
So much blood, sweat, and tears went into that company from so many of us.
You got an environment where there's camaraderie, spirit of love, and then you're gonna let some people now come, guns strapped on their sides, and push people around.
There was a hole in the boat that would have sunk the boat without outside influences.
Truth crushed to the earth shall rise again.
Once you're part of the music, it's till you die.
Stax.
Stax.
Stax Records.
Stax.
Stax
Records.
Wie alles begann, oder Jim Stewart und Estelle Axton erzählen von ihrem fundamentalen Einkauf.
Jim Stewart moved into the theater and nature threw him a curve and a flower garden started to grow composed of many different colors and they all came in. Get out your little prayer
book. Get out on your knees and pray. My sister mortgaged her house to set up the recording studio there at that building, which was on Macklemore.
word got around in the neighborhood, and we started getting people coming in, musicians, singers, whatever. They would come to the studio, and we would listen to them, talk with them.
Diese Epoche war bekanntlicherweise gekennzeichnet von Rassismus und Segregation. Ganz anders jedoch die Politik bei Stax Records, wie uns Rufus Thomas und Estelle Exton jetzt erzählen werden.
At that time, really, I thought nothing about white folk. I think that all white folk are the same. I'm trying to get my talent out there, and they were the ones who could give me that chance to expose my talent. I shared it, that black-white thing at Stax.
We never looked at color. We looked at people.
Und das waren keine leeren Worte. Die erste Entdeckung bei Stax Records waren eine Gruppe weißer Musiker. Das galt als eher untypisch zu dieser Zeit, in der Soul- und Jazzmusik eher von schwarzen Musikern gespielt wurde. Die Marquees, die erste Houseband von Stax Records, bestand aus Steve Cropper, Donald Dunn, Jerry Lee, Don Nix, Charles Axton und Wayne Jackson und Terry Johnson. Hören wir aber, was Steve Cropper dazu zu sagen hat.
The band that I had out of high school, all we wanted to play was rhythm and blues. This guy came up to me that I didn't have any classes with, so I didn't really know who he was. He introduced himself and he says, "Hey man, I hear you guys have a good band." He said, "I'll have to be in your band." And I said, "Well, we're not looking for anybody. What do you do?" And he said, "I play saxophone." I said, "How long you been playing?" He said, "Oh man, I've been taking lessons for 3 months." But somewhere in that conversation, he told me his uncle had a recording studio, which actually turned out to be a couple of microphones and a machine in a garage. But hey, in those days, it was a recording studio.
Everybody in that band loved the same music. In the Marquees, everybody in that band loved black guys' music. Here's a bunch of white guys trying to do a bunch of black guys' music. But we started getting some attention, and we started getting some notoriety.
The first time I walked into a recording studio, I cut a number one record, and that was Last Night.
Ja, das war jetzt Last Night, der erste große Hit von den Marquees. Aber die Marquees waren nur die erste Formation, die auf Stax Records große Erfolge feiern könnte. Weitere würden noch folgen. Doch zuerst etwas zur Geschichte des Satellite Records Shops, dem kleinen Plattengeschäft neben dem Stax Records Studio, betrieben von Estelle Axton, der Schwester von Jimmy Stewart und Mitbegründerin von Stax Records.
When I pulled up in front of a theater with a record store in what used to be the lobby, I thought, well, this has got to be something else, you know, and it was.
Estelle Axton had turned the theater's concession stand into the Satellite Record Shop, welcoming anyone who wanted to buy something or just listen. Her store soon became the neighborhood hangout.
During the summertime, she would put a little speaker thing out there on the door so you could hear it, and we would dance out on the sidewalk.
Before that, I had to drive 20 minutes out to Sears to look at records, you know, and all the records out there were only country records.
Mrs. Axton had a pulse on the creativity. She knew what the dance beats were. She knew what sounds were popular back then.
She wasn't involved in the production in terms of being in the studio, but all of her influence went on in the record shop. Hey, you guys need to listen to this. This is the hot new dance. This is the hot beat. This is the kind of song they're going for.
Und so kam es dann auch, dass im Alten Theater im Studio aufgenommen wurde und nebenan im Satellite Record Store war Estelle Axton und spielte Musik und es wurde auch dieser Platz so eine Art Neighborhood Hangout, wo Leute kamen, Musik horchten und Estelle sie auch beriet und einfach es ein netter Platz war, um einen Tag zu verbringen.
The one unit which recorded all, just about all of the Stax product, Steve and Duck and Booker T and Al Jackson.
I knew Cropper because he was the clerk at Satellite and waited while I listened to tons of records, you know, for hours.
I wound up doing odd jobs like marking tapes and sweeping the floor, cleaning the piano and doing whatever I could do.
Every now and then I would hear music come from behind the curtain. I knew there was a theater back there. I didn't know there was a recording studio, but...
Ja, und zu dieser Zeit waren die Songschreiber auch in voller Kreativität und trotzdem kam es einmal zu der Begebenheit, dass ihnen irgendwie Material fehlte für eine B-Seite und dann trug sich Folgendes zu.
Jim said, if we decide to put this out, have you got anything you can put on a B-side? So I happened to remember a riff that Booker played me a week or two prior to that session. It was a pretty good riff.
Ja, und bei diesem pretty good riff handelt es sich um das Riff, das die Grundlage für den folgenden Song mit dem Titel Green Onions trägt, der 1962 aufgenommen wurde und sich bis alleine 1967 mehr als 1 Million Mal verkauft hat. Hier kommt Green Onions.
Thank you.
Das war jetzt Green Onions von Booker T und den MGs, ein eigentlich schon sehr großer Hit. Doch bald sollte in der Stax-Geschichte noch jemand eintreten, der es zu noch größeren Ruhm schaffen wird. Und zwar ist es passiert, eigentlich in einer Aufnahmepause oder am Ende einer Aufnahmesession, als dieser Musiker das Studio betrat und eigentlich nur vorsingen wollte. Aber hören wir selbst, wie es sich zugetragen hat.
During a session, we were having a little playback break, and Al Jackson says, you know, he said, the guy that was driving Johnny, he said, well, he's been bugging me to death. He wanted me to hear him sing. He said, would you take some time and get this guy off of my back and listen to him?
Everybody was tired, and a couple of musicians had already left, so we got to do this. The guy's been sitting here waiting all day. Let's see what he sounds like.
So he played him church chords, he called him. And we started playing, and he started singing These Arms of Mine. And I know my hair lifted out about 3 inches, and I couldn't believe this guy's voice.
These arms of mine. Arms of mine, they are yearning, yearning for wanting you, and if you would let them, hold you, oh, how grateful I will be.
Ja, und natürlich war das jetzt Otis Redding mit dem Song These Arms of Mine. Und hören wir doch mal, was Booker T. Jones selbst dazu sagt.
Otis Redding singing that song. When you're in a moment like that, you're not thinking that it's going to sell a lot of records. You're thinking, it's all heart. It's all heart and experiencing the moment. Time gets frozen there when you're involved in something like that.
They started working up These Arms of Mine, and everybody, secretaries, people came out of the record shop. Everybody got up and came and was looking inside. And when he finished it, they had another artist.
Otis became that power pack, raw, gutsy, emotional, serious performer. I mean, you felt him, you heard the tear in his voice, and that captivated me. And I must tell you, when I went on the radio to play records, it was Otis Redding and me. We were having an affair on the air. Yeah.
keep singing.
Das war jetzt Fa 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 Sad Song von Otis Redding. Ja, und in den Anfangszeiten von Stax Records hatte ja Jim Stewart alleine die Geschäftsführung über, doch das sollte sich bald ändern. Denn 1965 trat Al Bell bei Stax Records ein, aber lassen wir ihn doch selbst erzählen.
We weren't a professional company before Al. We were operating, but we didn't have big business going on. We had big music going on, but we didn't know how to do it. Jim didn't know how to do it. Jim was a banker. Al Bell had a beard, and he was announcing blackness, which, you know, wasn't done very much then.
Ja, Al Bell, der aus Arkansas stammt und nach der High School einige Southern Christian Leadership Conference Workshops besuchte, kehrte dann schließlich nach Memphis zurück und fing dann bei Stax seine Karriere im Management an.
To sit in that office with this white man, sharing the same telephone, sharing the same thoughts, and being treated like an equal human being, was a breath of fresh air for me.
Und Jim Stewart meint dazu.
Al was very creative, but Al, of course, took more and more responsibility of not only the promotion, but business.
Das war jetzt You Don't Know Like I Know von Sam and Dave. Nun war das Stax-Team also komplett. Eine brillante Houseband, gute Songschreiber und Manager, die sich voll verausgabten für die Promotion der Musik. Doch es sollte noch besser kommen. Wie heißt es so schön? Das Gute ist so nahe. Und so war es auch im Fall von Isaac Hayes und Dave Porter, wie wir nun hören werden.
Isaac lived with his grandmother. For some reason he was an orphan. And sometimes he'd sleep over in the back seat of a car. And David, he sold insurance and he sacked groceries across the street from Stax.
Und Dave Porter meint dazu.
I was working at a grocery store, singing at clubs under the name of Little David at night, just trying to get in, selling life insurance. And had an old raggedy car, and he didn't have a car.
And we would ride down the street, and you could tell where we'd been because we'd leave a trail of foam from his seat cushion fall out of the bottom of his car.
Nun haben wir die Geschichte der ersten großen Stax-Künstler kennengelernt. Man kann jedoch kein Stax-Feature machen, ohne auch die Umgebung zu berücksichtigen. Bald sollte der erste Mann auf dem Mond landen. JFK wurde ermordet und auch in der Musikbranche zeichnen sich Ereignisse ab, die man nicht übersehen darf. Um was es geht, lassen wir uns von Jack Ashford, einem Musiker aus dieser Zeit, erklären.
Stax threw open its doors to capture the sound of the street. Feeling was all that mattered. Meanwhile, Up north in Detroit, another label was packaging R&B for crossover appeal.
There was no comparison. You know, there was only one Joe Louis, only one Muhammad Ali. There's only one Motown.
Ja, viel muss man über Motown nicht erzählen. Sie haben ja heuer auch das 50. Jubiläum gefeiert. Motown ist eigentlich eine Plattenfirma, die 1959 gegründet wurde, ursprünglich unter dem Namen Tamler Record Company. Der Gründer war Barry Gordon Jr. und Motown ist stationiert in Detroit, Michigan. Zu den bekanntesten Artists, die auf Motown veröffentlicht haben, gehören sicher Marvin Gaye, The Marvelettes, Diana Ross, The Supremes, David Ruffin und viele, viele weiteren oder auch die Jackson 5. Und trotz dieser Ähnlichkeiten könnten diese beiden Companies nicht verschiedener sein, was ihre Musik betrifft.
But Stax and me had that funky stuff. That big bass thing that come out at you, reach out and grab you, boom, the boom, 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 boom. That was the difference between Stax and Motown. Motown had the sweet, Stax had the funk.
Got a sweeter song than the birds in the trees. Well, I guess you say, what can make me feel this way, my girl?
Das war jetzt die Motown-Version von den Temptations von My Girl und nun hören wir die Stax Records-Version, gesungen von Otis Redding.
Oh, my, yes, you will
und obwohl der musikalische Unterschied deutlich hörbar ist, wollte trotzdem Al Bell sich und Stax Records noch weiter distinguieren von Motown Records.
They took great pride in saying Hitsville, USA. And so in my mind, I thought something should be done to distinguish us from Motown. Then people would have to look at us as, oh, this is the one that's different from Hitsville. This is Soulsville.
Und nun war für Stax Records endgültig die Zeit gekommen oder der Zeitpunkt gekommen, den Rest der Welt mit ihrer Musik zu erobern. 1967 ist und alle Stax Acts gingen auf Tour durch Europa und den Rest der Welt. Auch Otis Redding war dabei und er begeisterte das Publikum in besonderem Maße und hier hören wir jetzt, wie seine Mutter das empfand.
He was very excited about going to Europe. And he tried to get me to come along, but I was a wife and a mother. He called him home at least 4 or 5 times a day. He would say, I blew them away. And like, okay, it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Und die anderen Stax Musiker dachten ähnlich.
We did a lot of halls where rhythm and blues music had not been. You know, they were concert halls, symphonic halls, and we were kind of anxious because we didn't know how people were going to accept it. We didn't know what kind of audience was coming, you know.
And the European people went crazy. They went crazy. And, they like us, huh? You know, they like us.
Und als sie sahen, wie groß ihr Erfolg in Europa schon war, beschlossen sie, weiterzumachen und auf Welttournee zu gehen.
To be treated by the bellhops or attendants at the hotels in London like stars. We hadn't felt that or experienced that before. Dr. King said, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last.
It changed everybody's perception of themselves because none of us had ever been paid that much attention. That Stax Vault tour, it gave us a new insight to what the world really thought of us because we didn't think probably outside the block we lived on.
Just, you know, we would throw our coats off and spin and turn and singing and oh, that was it. It was having church.
They had everybody just in a pandemonium. I mean, they'd faint. One of them would just faint, fall out, and just come out, drag him off stage. And then Sam would say, good night. Dave would come back out. Head start again.
Well, I got to tell you, when Sam and Dave finished, Otis Redding broke from behind that stage out and grabbed the microphone, and he started going from one end of the stage to the other end of the stage. I couldn't believe what was going on, and it was gata, 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 gata. I mean, just the energy that I had never seen before.
Doch dann traten zwei Ereignisse ein, die das Stax-Universum schwer erschütterten. Zum einen mussten sie erfahren, dass Atlantic, das Label, mit dem Stax einen Distributionsvertrag hatte, ihnen alle Rechte an den Materialien genommen hatte, die sie bis jetzt veröffentlicht hatten. Stax stand somit vor dem Nichts. Doch dann, 1967, traf es Stax Records noch schwerer, denn Otis Redding starb bei einem Flugzeugabsturz und kam ums Leben mitsamt seiner Band.
Stax lost their biggest star and the heart and soul of the label. Then, within weeks, they learned that the fine print of their distribution deal with Atlantic took from them ownership of everything they'd released. Suddenly, Stax found itself gutted. A record company with no records.
I had not read the fine print in the distribution agreement. And Jerry Wexler, that, you know, I love Jerry, you know, but we had a serious
argument.
It was sort of like, that's not what you said, and that's not what you implied. But then they go, well, yeah, but the paper says this. Well, there didn't need to be any paper in the first place.
As it turned out, Sam and Dave were not really signed to Stax as artists. They were signed to Atlantic and loaned out to Stax.
To this love of mine.
It was a family thing. That chemistry works. So when they broke that mold and took us back, it all went downhill after that.
So these were really Atlantic artists, and we are the little guys down in Memphis, Tennessee, that really didn't get it, didn't know it.
Doch es sollte noch ein weiteres einschneidendes Ereignis die Stadt Memphis, die Stadt, in der Stax Records angesiedelt war, erschüttern. Am 4. April 1968 wird Dr. Martin Luther King auf dem Balkon im Lorraine Hotel erschossen. Das Tragische daran ist, dass das Lorraine Hotel eigentlich auch eine Art Rückzugsoase für Stax Records Artists war, aber mehr dazu im folgenden Beitrag.
What I found interesting about the location of Dr. King's death, that we at Stax had found the Lorraine Hotel to be our oasis number two.
I was there when that bullet was fired. I was standing on the balcony. I spent the last hour of his life on earth. About a quarter to six, we stepped on that balcony. He stood here, I stood here. I got five steps. Kapow! The shot rang out. I looked back and saw he had been knocked from the railing back onto the balcony. I rushed to his side. There was a gaping hole in the right side of his face, and blood was everywhere, just bleeding profusely. I ran in the room to call an ambulance. You couldn't use the phone without the operator. When the operator heard the shot, she left the switchboard. Oh, wow. I'm beating on the wall saying, answer the phone, answer the phone, answer the phone. She went in the courtyard, looked up and saw Martin on the floor, and she had a heart attack on the spot.
Wow.
She died about 4 days later. I ran back outside. The police were coming. And I hollered to them, call an ambulance on your police radio. Dr. King has been shot. They said, where did the shot come from? So that's where the picture comes with us pointing to the building across the street. Where did the shot come from?
The death of Martin Luther, the whole complexion of everything changed. It had to.
We stayed closed, the shop and the studio, for about a week, I guess, 4 or 5 days. Because we wanted to respect the people.
I can tell you that prior to that, as far as I know, there was never, ever any color that came through the doors. Didn't happen. And after that, it was never the same.
Can bet I won't say no, 'cause you're real.
about to end.
I was devastated, and I prayed. I deal with things the same way that God dealt with Adam when he walked in the garden and Adam had hid himself from him. He was Adam's friend. He made Adam. They walked and talked together every day. And all of a sudden, there was a breach. And my prayer was that things happen with stacks. When the breach came, that somebody could remove the breach and reclaim that was almost lost.
Und genauso wie Estelle Axton es geschildert hat, ist es dann auch gekommen.
They said Stax is dead. There will be no more Stax. From that moment to watch Stax, I was on the keel to take Stax and those artists to that level of appreciation in this country.
We had a lot of confidence, and so we were very adamant and determined that we were going to be successful.
Al Bell, when he came to Stax, he brought that large sack of BS with him. He could get on the telephone and make things happen, and he was great.
We were all young and naive, I guess, and certainly our love for what we were doing, even at that point, and for Stax Records, was unquestionable.
And Al Bell was like a rocket that was already launched and was orbiting, and nothing could stop him.
I'm the son of a bitch! We'll be right back.
Ja, und als sich keiner mehr vorstellen konnte, dass es mit Stax weitergehen würde, trat Al Bell wieder ein und entwickelte eine Idee mit dem Titel Soul Explosion Venture, und dazu möchten wir mehr hören.
Soul Explosion Venture, Al Bell's baby. Al Bell came up with this idea that he was gonna explode and flood the market with Stax material. One was a major success, and that was Hot Buttered Soul.
Oh,
Ja, und das war jetzt auch der Titel Walk On By aus besagtem Album von Isaac Hayes, Hot Buttered Soul. Ja, und die Erfolge des Labels führten auch zu einer neuen Labelpolitik. Al Bell und Isaac Hayes entschlossen sich, Stax zur Unterstützung der schwarzen Bürgerrechtsbewegung zu nutzen. Ab jetzt betonten sie Verantwortlichen des Labels, dass Stax-Produkte sich in erster Linie an Schwarze richteten und Black Pride wird zu einem Geschäftsverfahren. Höhepunkte dieser neuen Entwicklung wurde What Stax, ein riesiges Festival mit über 100.000 Besuchern, das in dem gleichnamigen Film so eindrucksvoll festgehalten wurde. Nach dem Erfolg von What Stax schlossen Stax einen Vertrag mit CBS Records. Deren Präsident war Clive Davis und zusammen mit Al Bell träumte er davon, sowohl in der weißen wie der schwarzen Bevölkerung neue Märkte zu erschließen. Nachdem aber Clive Davis gefeuert wurde, verlor CBS schnell das Interesse an Stax. Es gab Städte, in denen lediglich deshalb keine Platten von Stax mehr verkauft wurden, weil CBS sich nicht um die Nachlieferung kümmerte. Aber CBS wollte Stax auch nicht aus dem Vertrag entlassen, weil man befürchtete, dass Stax dann zu einer gefährlichen Konkurrenz werden würde und somit ließ man Stax buchstäblich verhungern. Al Bell versuchte den Bankrott mit Darlehen abzuwenden und Jim Stewart verpfändete seine Wohnung in Memphis, aber alles nützte nichts. Stax Records wurde im Dezember 1975 für bankrott erklärt. Alle Mitarbeiter entlassen und das gesamte Gelände wird über die nächsten Jahre verfallen. Heute steht auf dem Stax-Gelände das Stax Museum of American Soul Music und auch das Label gibt es seit 2004 wieder. Veröffentlicht wurden bisher vor allem Reissues, aber bald soll es auch neue Alben geben. Ja, und das war's auch schon wieder von mir. Das war das Special Feature zu Stax Records. Ich hoffe, es hat euch gefallen. Ihr hört Solid Jazz Funk Radio mit mir, Dorian Lombard. Und wie immer gibt's auch alle Informationen zur Sendung auf sjf-radio.blogspot.com. Dort findet ihr auch den Link zum Podcast und ihr könnt Kommentare hinterlassen, mir eine E-Mail schreiben, wie auch immer. Ich freue mich über jeden Kommentar. Ja, und ich würde sagen, wir hören uns wieder nächste Woche. Dann gibt's wieder jede Menge gutes Programm, gute Musik, Soul, Jazz, Funk, wie immer. Und auch ein paar Geschichten natürlich dazu. In diesem Sinne, wir hören uns wieder nächste Woche. Macht's gut, bye bye.